a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessing. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all. Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. I'm thirsty. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I
do. And all the things. I present to you our pastor, Dr. John E. Montgomery II.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh now for this wonderful opportunity you are providing for these, your people, to hear your word. We pray that you would meet us, Lord, in this message you've given us to unfold so that we might learn the principles and practice them for profit. We thank you in advance for what you're going to say to us today that will change our lives, strengthen our faith, and cause us to walk in your blessings. We ask it all in Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God said amen. Amen. Would you give God a hand of praise as you're seated in his presence? Yeah. Okay. Amen, amen. Well, let the church say amen.
Amen.
I'm excited about this word today because it is a word that I think the believers, the church, needs to, one, be aware of and reminded of, and for those who already know, how important what you hear is in the spirit realm. I want to title our little teaching today, What Are You Listening For? What are you listening for? Now, I want to share some nuggets from the Word of God, because what I think is going to help us is the revelation on the Word for us concerning how we, in the spirit realm, listen to, pick up on, and hold God to what He said. The atmosphere is charged with both positive words and negative words. All of them are spiritual because it's in the atmosphere. It's spiritual words in terms of God's word and of the negative form in satanic words. The question becomes, what are you listening for? Because where you are determines what you hear. Amen. What you are determines what you're listening for. Did you get that? Wherever you are, that's going to determine what you hear. But whatever you are, if you're a believer or if you're a non-believer, is going to determine what you're listening for. I want Reverend Mazes here. Okay, 1 Kings, I want you all to turn to chapter 18. And I want to just read verses 41 through 44 just to get us a quick boost because our time is short. And then I'll just explain you a part of the story and then get into our teaching.
Verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to help, Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. Verse 44, and it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not.
Thank you, thank you. A familiar story that many of us know about, and this story is when God has spoken to Elijah to tell King Ahab, because of his sinful ways, etc., that there would be no rain nor dew for 3 years and 6 months. This is at the end of that period now. And God has rejoined them together. And Elijah is telling Ahab that he hears something in the spirit realm, in the supernatural realm. And what he hears is a sound of an abundance of rain. Now, this is good news when you've been in a drought for 3 years and 6 months. No rain, no dew, no moisture, and everything is dying up and drying up, including cattle and people, etc. And so here, Ahab is hearing this news. Now, interestingly enough, if you begin at chapter 17 and read all the way through, you'll get all of these wonderful details. He has put out an APB on Elijah. The king Ahab has done this. Nobody has been able to find him. God sent him down to the brook of Cherith, where he was sustained by the brook to drink from. Then he sent a raven to bring him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. Then the brook dried up. Then he sent him to Zarephath, where a little widow woman was to sustain him throughout that famine, if she would obey him to give him water and to make him a little cake first. And she did this, and she and he and all of her house ate until the rains came, which meant that God sustained her through the famine without losing anything, and blessed her because she blessed the man of God. Amen. Now, you get to the point now where King Ahab has made each man who has been a part of the search vow, swear that he could not find this man, Elijah. Obadiah, which was one of his servants, but a man who feared God, had hid 100 servants one time when Jezebel, his wife, wanted to kill them and fed them in two caves, 50 by 50, with bread and water. Obadiah is found by Elijah, and he tells him, tell your king I want to meet with him. Obadiah's like, oh my goodness. If I tell the king you want to see him and the king comes looking for you and you're nowhere to be found, then the king is going to kill me. Elijah had to tell him, just go tell him. I'm going to be right here. I'll be able to be found. So he goes and he gets him. So now this is an exciting time because Ahab feels that Elijah has cursed them and put this great famine on them. When Elijah's saying to Ahab, no, your sinful ways, the life you lived has caused God to put this on you. I'm just the messenger who spoke what God told me to speak. And so now at this point that it is fulfilled, here they are meeting again. Now, there's something again I'm trying to get you to see in the spirit realm, in the atmosphere, as a believer, because this is true not only of this story, but this is true for the believer who is more in tuned to God, more spiritually mature, so that they are able to listen for what God himself has said. Our faith is strengthened by us listening to God. Listen to what Romans 10 and 17 says. So then faith cometh by hearing, 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 and hearing how? By the word of God. So listen to this, because it works also, and I think I need to throw this out parenthetically, that because the atmosphere is charged with negative and positive words of God and words of Satan, they both, again, faith operates based upon your belief. So your belief in the negative and the bad will bring to pass those words just as much as your faith in the good brings forth the positive. Amen. See, that's why you got to be careful where you are and what you're listening to and what you're hearing, because it's going to feed your faith, and your faith works both positively and negatively. So that means if you're in the wrong place, continuously hearing the wrong thing, you are going to do what most folk make the mistake of doing and not realizing it. You're going to hear it, and then you're going to speak it again. When you speak it, what else are you doing? When it leaves your mouth, it's going back in your hearing. Listen, it doesn't matter what the enemy places in your mind. You can strike those thoughts down. They won't live. They are given birth when you speak them. The question was asked, well, can I take them back? No, you can't take them back. When a woman has a baby, can a baby be put back in her stomach? No. Once it's birth, it's gone. Now, the best thing you can do at that point is try and shoot them down and cancel them out. But what happens is you usually speak what you believe, whether it's positive or negative. You usually release from your mouth the thing that has attached your faith to it. And so when you begin to speak like that, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So now, whether it's positive or negative, listen to what else. This word power here is a Hebrew word for the word yad, Y-A-D, which is translated as hand. Do you know what you say, good or bad, is in your hand? You're going to eat the fruit thereof. Your tongue builds, listen, your spiritual and atmospheric world. So be careful what you say, but the be careful what you say is to first say be careful what you hear. Because when you hear negativity and speak negativity, you reinforce negativity. So if you heard something, and gossip is a median for this, when you hear gossip, that's negative. Because all gossip is not negative, but I'm talking about when you hear negative gossip and you repeat negative gossip, you are reinforcing that. You are bringing that to life and adding another level of life to that negativity. That's why you got to be careful what you speak out of your mouth, but you've also got to be careful what you are listening for. You can hear a whole lot of stuff and it goes in and go out. But it depends on what you're listening for that will cause you to focus in. Ahab did not want to believe that he was the cause of his own problems, like a whole lot of us. It's always somebody else's fault. It's always what somebody else did. It's always what somebody else said. But it's strange that you wind up participating in it. All right? We never want to take responsibility for what we've done. And we can never, ever be delivered from a situation. We can never rise above a situation until we take responsibility for our part in the situation. Now let's go to the story right quick with the few minutes we have left. Here you're going to discover Ahab is trying to get to the bottom of this, trying to get this curse finished. It's 3 years, 6 months, the curse is through. It's finished. What the man of God spoke has been completed. Now what he's doing is he's declaring to the king that what I said was so, and now that I've said it and it's done, it's over with. So he needed that meeting to confirm that God did what he said he was going to do, and he has finished with it, and rain will come back in its continual state. But there's going to be an abundance of rain first. This is what Elijah is listening for. He hears it in his spirit man. That sound of abundance is so far that the only way he can hear it is in the spirit. Now listen to me well. He hears it because this is a word from heaven, not on earth here. This word that a sound of abundance of rain is coming, guess where it starts at? In the supernatural, in the heavenlies, beyond where we are. It doesn't start, rain doesn't start here. So, but he hears because he's listening for it, because why? The famine and the promise of God is now over. 3 years, 6 months have passed. Now, he, just like God did what he said he was going to do, keeping it from coming, now he's waiting for God to say, it's over, now I will release it. So he's listening for that. So he's attuned to that so that he could get this information. Now, keep this in mind, because when you really get it, you're shocked. Right now you're getting it, and I'm trying to prepare you for it. Because you've been missing what you've been listening for. And I want to help you to tune your hearing up. Get your antennas right. Make sure you can hear the faintest communication. And listen, God usually begins that in a whisper. So soft, so light, that if you're not listening for him, you'll miss it. You won't hear it. All right? And so Elijah hears the sound of the abundance of rain. What does he do? He sends his servant down to the sea to look for the cloud. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. All right? He has heard now, so his faith is stirred. His faith is encouraged. Now that he has heard, he's now going to confirm that by seeing. So the natural place, the start was down by the sea, where the clouds many times will rain over water before they rain, strangely enough, over dry land. So he went to the most obvious place, or he sent his servant. His servant came back and said, there is nothing. In other words, I see nothing. But Elijah heard the sound of abundance. I ain't talking about no drip drop. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. I'm not talking about it just coming down as a little light mist. I'm talking about coming down, pouring down. And he's trying to make clear to them, it's on its way. Now you can't see it yet, but it's on the way. He sends them down 6 more times. And then finally, on the 7th time, he comes back and says, in essence, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. Now listen at this. That might not have meant much to nobody else. But how many of you know what God can do with a hand? That cloud that he saw was the size of a hand's man in his own eye. Guess why? Because it was so far away. It was so far away, it looked like it was the size of a man's hand. But that was big to Elijah. So he instructs the king to get in his little horse and buggy and make it on down to Jezreel before the rain stops him. Now, y'all, if y'all catch this, y'all be. You need to go and tell the king he needs to leave from where he is now and make it on down to Jezreel before he gets stormed out. Now, there's some things I want to tell you about what I've just told you so that you'll understand it better and can apply it to your life. There are 3 things in listening for God that you must do. Now, remember the text says he went up to Mount Carmel. The first thing, if you really want to hear God, is you've got to elevate yourself. Elevation is a part. You've got to rise above many things that will cause you from not hearing him. And that means in elevating yourself, you get away from the crowds. That's an important point to understand. You get away from all of the confusion, and you get away from all of the chaos. When you rise, elevate yourself, go to a place higher, the altitude changes your attitude, which changes your atmosphere. Now listen to this. Many times our attitude doesn't change until we go up. Now, it is possible for your attitude to change your altitude as well. But sometimes it is the elevation that causes us to think differently, that changes our attitude. And here's the reason why. It is because at a higher altitude, the atmosphere changes. In other words, the air is thinner at the top than it is at the bottom. It's heavier down at the bottom. It's lighter up at the top. If you were trying to go to a higher elevation, and here we are down below sea level, and you go up to a place like Denver, or you go up and you're trying to climb mountains, and you get 10,000 feet, 11,000, 12,000 feet, listen, your body is going to react differently because of the atmospheric changes. Because of the atmosphere's lighter air, you might get dizzier, you might get faint, sickly. Why? Because your body has to adjust to higher altitudes. See, don't think that you can live on a higher level just walking from down beneath to up above. There are some changes that must take place as you go up if you're gonna live up there. If you try to get up there too quick, you'll get sick. Are y'all hearing what I'm trying to tell you? That's why the Bible says grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Because as you grow in grace, you learn how to handle the higher altitudes. Your thinking changes because your atmosphere changes. That's important to understand. First thing is elevation. Say elevation. If I really want to hear from God, I've got to be elevated. I've got to get from among the crowds and among the chaos and the confusion. Why is that important again? Because you hear too much stuff. Where you are determines what you hear. What you hear is determined by what you are. In other words, what you are determines what you're listening for. You stop listening for trash. You stop listening for gossip. You stop listening for that stuff that makes no sense. You stop listening to all that stuff that drags your spirit down. You don't even want to talk to folk that you know are messy and mess carrying and talking trash and got nothing to say. And you stop listening to all of that. You listening for something that's going to encourage you, inspire you, make you feel better, make you look up, make you do the right things. It's a whole different place in elevation. Second thing is, to hear from God, you must not only have elevation, but you've got to have elimination. Elimination. What does elevation causes the elimination of? I'm glad you asked. One, noise. Unnecessary noise. All that noise with all the folk around you. It eliminates nuisances. You know, nuisance folk find you. Man, I've been looking for you. What's up? Nothing? Okay, well. And you're trying to talk some stuff that makes sense and all the rest of that, but nuisance folk carry nothing but stuff that just nags you. And I mean, so it elevation eliminates nuisances. And then when you begin to realize that there's another element that we have, it's also important to understand that elevation eliminates negativity. Negativity. You see, folk who are negative don't like to be by themselves. They like to contaminate and pollute the atmosphere, and folk hear ears in all of the stuff that they speak and hear. It's nothing of substance. It's nothing of great soundness. It's mess. It's trifling. It's trifle stuff. It's trivial stuff. It's stuff that's negative because they love the response that they get when they speak negatively. Elevation eliminates all of that because you don't have but a few folk around you. And thirdly, when you elevate it and eliminate that, you have great expectation. Expectation. You see, one of the things that Elijah was up on the mountain doing was he was waiting for a confirmation. He heard the sound. Now he wanted to see the confirmation in both the hearing and the seeing. Now, after he got the confirmation, listen, he knew there was going to be a manifestation. For the verse that follows, that verse 45 says it got dark all over everywhere. That's because when it was confirmed with the cloud the size of a man's hand, it kept moving his way, and as it kept moving his way, it got larger and larger and larger till everything was black. Black. And then in the expectation, he himself also had participation. Because my brothers and sisters, in your expectation, God is always going to expect you to participate. King Ahab was told to hurry up and run on, get to Jezreel. Now, here he is, and I'm throwing this last one up there for you for free. He had jubilation, because sometimes You got to shout all by yourself.